Okay, fine. So welcome back. So, Parshat Noach. Bereishis is one of those, Sefer Bereishis is great to talk about. There's always, you know, the whole Torah is wonderful to talk about. But Bereishis is like long parshiot with stories that everybody knows. So it is easier to talk about. Okay, so let's just start at the beginning. So God decides that he's going to destroy the world. For what sin? Right, so the Torah identifies it as one word, right? And this is actually what I want to talk about, is that God picks it up, or God summarizes the beginning of Parshat Noach with one word, and that is, Vatimaleh ha'aretz chamas. Right, the world is filled with chamas, right? And what does the word chamas mean? May also be, right? But what does it mean here, right? So what does the word chamas here mean, right? It comes up several times in the story. So the shoresh here is actually chet mem samach. Right? It is chamas, right? And he says it in the next pasuk also, right? Vayomer elim manoach ket kol basar balafanai ki mal haaretz chamas mipneihem. Vini mashti tamen haaretz. The world is filled, right, with chamas, right? So you get it. Both times. Now Rashi translates it with one word, right, based on the Midrash, and that is geza. It's theft, right? Now, Shlomo is a very good point. Now, why does Shlomo think that the sin was sexual something in nature? There's a good reason why you think that, but why do you think that? Shlomo thinks that because he hasn't done Shtayim Mikra Parshat Noach yet, and he did Shtayim Mikra for Bereishit. He heard Bereishit, and how does Bereishit end? Right, safe, not Sefer, but Parshat Bereishit, who was paying attention at the end of Vayiru v'nei ha'Elohim el benot ha'et benot ha'adam ki tovot heina vaychulem nashim bikol asher bacharu. Right, because the b'nei Elohim, right, which probably means the leaders, the powerful people, saw the women. Right, they were beautiful, and they took wives from whoever they wanted. And then what happens? Vayomer Adonai lo yadun rochi v'adam lo olam b'shagam uvasar vayu yamav me'av esrim shana. Oh, something's wrong. That's it. They're only going to live 120 years, which means that at the end of last week's parsha, the first sin we hear, right, that sets this cycle in motion of God saying, "I'm going to destroy everyone," isn't theft, right? But is the leaders, the powerful people, seeing Benot Adam, right, the women, and, right, coercing them essentially into marriage, right? Now, that's not technically the one that leads to the, according to the beginning of Noah, that leads to destruction of the world, but okay, but what's the connection between these two? Is there? Right, so it might be there's not, right? That was just like God's first anger, but in the end, Gezel, right? But you've got to wonder what exactly is going on, right? Why is it that Gezel, of all things, is the thing the world is destroyed for, right? And does it mean only theft? Or does it mean more than just theft, right? So you could just narrowly argue that, look, theft doesn't just mean theft, right? Theft is, right, a stand-in for a lawless culture where people take whatever they want. Right? Now, that doesn't just mean money. Right? And the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually does say this, right? That stealing someone else's wife, right, might, in the context of the Sheva Mitzvah Noah, might actually count as theft. Right? Because theft, right, this idea that you own everything and you can control, it could be, right, money, but it could also be people's, right, freedom, right? It could be, right? That's part of that same, right, that same lawlessness. So at a very local level, you could argue that that's what's going on, right? Hamas isn't just theft, right? It's not just that people are stealing, right, money. It's, right, there's no respect for law, there's no respect for people's property, right? Now, you could push it a little bit farther, right? I remember once, there's a, when I was in Gush, this machloket went on for many years, right? But this is going to come from a different angle. But right, everyone asks the question, right? Why is it that if Shaul, his sins were relatively minor, right? Like he didn't listen to Shmuel and brought a carbon early, and then he doesn't kill Agag, right? He doesn't kill everyone in Amalek, right? But in the end of the day, God doesn't give him another chance, and he's kicked off from being a Navi, from being king, rather. And David HaMelech commits adultery and kills the wife, the husband of the person he sleeps with, and right, all types of terrible things, and he keeps getting more chances, right? So why is it that David, who does seemingly worse sins, doesn't get another chance and is kicked off from being king, and Shaul does? So there are many answers given, but so around Gush, Rav Yoel ben Nun used to say, oh, well, the difference is that David, even though he is a king, the sins are personal sins. Adultery is an act of passion, right? It's bad, but it wasn't a sin as a king. It was a sin that a king performed, right, committed as an individual person. As opposed to Shaul, he failed in war. He failed in how he was supposed to lead the Jews spiritually in the context of war, right? He failed in leadership positions as a leader, right? So he doesn't get to be king. Right? That's his argument. But Rav Meidan, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva now of Gush, always used to say that's not true, right? He said, for a king to take someone else's wife and have their husbands killed, he points to Parshat Bereishit, and he says that's literally the first sin. It is the paradigmatic abuse of power, right? This isn't just adultery, right? A person in power who thinks he can just take someone else's wife and, you know, find a way to eliminate the husband, right? That's not a sin as a private individual, right? That is a sin. That is a usurp, right? That's an abuse of power, right? It's not just a sexual sin, right? So you could come back to it and say, okay, so Hamas, maybe it's not just Hamas means theft, right? Hamas means essentially theft and the abuse of power that is implied in theft, right? In the sense that the powerful people, the B'nai Elohim taking other people's wives, right, is exactly that, right? It's not theft per se, right? It's theft and what it implies about the complete breakdown, right, in boundaries and the abuse of power that comes with it, and the like. Now, there are midrashim who suggest, and this is quoted by several of the mofarshim here, that it's not just regular theft. But there's two types of theft. There's theft of shavet pruta, right, of the minimum amount that counts as money in halacha. And if you steal a shavet pruta, you have to return it. But Hamas can also refer to stealing less than a shavet pruta. And that's particularly insidious, because what would they do? The Chizkuni quotes it in full here, though, whatever, he switches Gezel and Semach, but it doesn't matter, right? And he says, what is it? It would go like this. People would say, Shlomo he's an apple seller, right? Apples are too big. I don't know. Grapes, okay? Grapes. And each person said, listen, I don't want to be called to court. I don't want to, right? What do I do? I'll steal a grape, right? One grape. And everyone did that. So by the end, someone, no grapes, right? Sorry, right? But no one could ever be prosecuted because everyone only stole one grape, which is less than a shavet pruta. So even if you went to court, you'd say, yeah, I stole a grape, but I don't have to give it back. It's not worth 25 cents. It's worth, 5 cents, 10 cents, right? That's not enough. You can't... Now, that is a different, right, problem, right? I once heard it from Rav Asher Weiss, what he argued is Hamas is doing something where only in the conglomerate do you destroy people, right? Right, he gave the modern example. He thinks that Hamas, Chazal describing Hamas, is the reason that it's forbidden halakhically to violate copyright law. Right, because he says, look, you download a book, right, you download a song, what's it worth? Nothing, right? But if everyone does it, then you can't pin the crime on anyone, but you've created a society in which you're going to destroy people financially, right? And he said, Hamas is where I do something that if everyone does what I do, it'll undermine society, but I personally do something that you can't pinpoint, right, as being, right, prosecutable, right? And there's something particularly vicious about that, right? Because it's where society, right, basically, right, no one takes responsibility. Everyone is just happy to take part of a society in which they can't be caught for the crime, but in conglomerate, right, they have undermined the standing of society, right? So that's a sort of another angle to why theft or this type of theft might be bad, right? It's specifically a type of theft where you can't be held responsible, right? And that is, right, that is a breakdown in society in a different way. Now, Shlomo is right that there are other possibilities, and the Chizkuni, for example, has a very long piece here where he says, well, maybe Hamas, right, so far everything we've said until now explains why theft of some sort might be the reason to destroy the world. But the other direction is to say Hamas is much more inclusive, right? Before we do that, right, many of the Darshanim also suggest that maybe the reason theft is so bad is because it also has theological problems, right? I mean, the problem isn't just that I take from other people, it's that I don't really have emuna that God provides for the world, right? And therefore I steal, and therefore there may be other problems, but the fact that I think I need to take from other people because I don't really think that God supports the world and stuff like that, right, leads to all the other problems. So, like, I was reading Rabbi Price on Parshat Noach, and he says, right, that's what he thinks the problem is. It's Gezel and everything theologically that Gezel stands for. But the other direction, which Shlomo is hinting at, is to say, listen, it doesn't make sense. As many drushers as you say, it can't just be that theft is the reason the world was destroyed. That's the only reason. So the other direction is to say Hamas covers a lot of other things. So the Chizkuni says, yeah, Hamas means theft, but Hamas also means Gilui Arayot, right? It means sexual sins. It also means Avodah Zarah, right? And he quotes Pesukim. He says, look, in Yirmiyahu, Hamas refers to Gilui Arayot, right? The sexual sins. And in Yechezkel, it refers to Avodah Zarah. And in Yoel, Hamas refers to murder, right? So the other way is to say, listen, Hamas doesn't just mean theft, not even a specific type of theft, right? Hamas is a catch-all for corruption, right? Spiritual corruption, sexual corruption, right? Monetary corruption, right? It's everything. And obviously the motivation for doing that is, well, this is the reason that the world is going to be destroyed. So if you want it to make any sense, so then you really need to explain why Hamas is that bad. And again, I think methodologically, those are the two options you can do, right? You can either say that Hamas means one particular sin, and then explain why theologically, ethically, that sin is representative of a complete breakdown of society, right? Which is sort of the first series of options that we threw out. The other one is to say, no, Hamas is a catch-all word, right? Which represents a host of sins, right? A completely morally and religiously decrepit society, right? And that's why it's so bad, right? I think those are the two options that you have, right? Again, it's either to say, look, the world is destroyed because of Hamas, which is one thing, theft, this type of theft, whatever it might be, but it's particularly bad because it represents an abuse of power, it represents, right, a society that's broken down where no one takes responsibility, it represents a theological issue that no one thinks the things are from God, whatever you want to do, right? That's one methodological approach. The other is to say, no, Hamas is theft and Avodah Zarah and murder and sexual crimes and, Hamas means everything that could possibly go wrong in society went wrong, and that's why, right, the world is destroyed. Okay, so that's just some possibilities. Obviously, there are others, but those are, I think, two general approaches that you could take to trying to understand what it was that was so bad that the world was destroyed for. Okay? Good.